Hello, everyone. I'm Phil, and I'm an addict. Thank you for reminding me that I have these songs. Oh, thank you, Shane. I asked Shane to introduce me because he's my friend, but also because I admire his recovery. You know, Shane goes to meetings and works steps and talks to newcomers and is of service to his home group and does H&I and is just in the middle of this thing. And to see someone like come in and, you know, take the suggestions, I admire that. You know, that's what we do. And I also admire your ability to like feel, because you feel feelings very deeply and I feel feelings very deeply. And you just remind me of me. And so I really appreciate our friendship too. Okay, so I made an outline so that when I lose my train of thought, I can like refer back to something. Yes, and it's already happening. Okay, yes, so what's up, Branna? How's it going? I love Branna. Like, I love, like, being here. And I've sat out in that audience and, like, watched the speaker on this stage, like, so many times. And it's a super huge honor to, like, to be up here. You know, Branna, like, gets, big people get clean at Branna, right? People get the message at Branna. And if you think that this just happens in a vacuum, it doesn't. So I want to take the chance to thank the committee members who make our being here and our enjoyment and our receiving of the message in Narcotics Anonymous possible. So, and also, if you want to be of service and guarantee that your service work is reaching somebody and the message being carried, serving on a committee that puts on an event like this is an awesome way to do that. And so I encourage it. So thank you, Branna Committee. I have lots of Branna stories. I'm sure you all have lots of Branna stories too, some of which you probably only share with your support group and not at meeting, if even that. But no, it's very awesome. Like, it makes me very emotional looking back and thinking about all the recovery that I've gained here. Okay, so let's get into it. So this is a Narcotics Anonymous event. So I like to start off and say that, you know, the message of Narcotics Anonymous is super, super important to me. I'm going to probably raise this up a little bit because I am tall. Let's see here. The message of Narcotics Anonymous is important to me because it's the message that I received that changed my life and altered the trajectory, and it worked on my insides and changed who I am. And I had no idea that that was going to happen to me. I just wanted to feel better. I just wanted to stop hurting, you know, and I received the message of Narcotics Anonymous. The message of Narcotics Anonymous is that no addict, an addict, thank you, any addict can lose the desire to use, stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. The message is hope, and the promise is freedom. And no, I forgot that here on the spot on the microphone. That's the message that I got, right? And I needed that hope, man. I needed that hope when I walked in. And when I first, my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I was not ready to receive the message. And I think that's the case for a lot of us. I'm quite sure that my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting was with my dad. I vaguely remember it, but I still see it when I go to meetings. I go to meetings. That's one thing I want to share with you guys. Like, I go to NA meetings, okay? And it's really cool when you go to NA meetings. You see all the things, and you see newcomers coming in, and you get an opportunity to sponsor people, and you get to say something to someone that you think is so innocuous that changes the course of their life. And this happens in Narcotics Anonymous meetings, like in our meetings. And I think it's very important that we go to meetings. And so I see young dudes with their dads in meetings. Right? And I'm like, and you can see it from a mile away. You're like, that guy's with his dad. Or his and I love that, because my first meeting was with my dad, and I'm sure I sat in there, and someone was like, this guy's with their dad. And I'm sure somebody came up and talked to me, and it was really weird, and I didn't like it, and I just wanted to leave. And that's all I really know about my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because I continue to use. And I probably wasn't even really at the height of my using at that point. I was fortunate. I had a stepmom that was in our predecessor's fellowship, and so she knew how to like slowly like plant the seed in me, and she actually introduced me to Narcotics Anonymous. My second experience hearing the message of Narcotics Anonymous was at a picnic. For my stepmom, she took me to a picnic. We're going to a picnic. I'm pretty sure it was our area's How Group picnic. I'm from the beach area of Narcotics Anonymous, like my friend Shane. My home group is There's a Light. It meets on Tuesday nights at 7:30. Yeah, this is my fan club. And I was at a picnic, and it was very awkward, but I remember sitting with this person, this gentleman, and talking to him. And I wish so desperately that I knew like who it was that I talked to. But I remember him saying something that was very surprising to me. He told me that talking to me was keeping him clean that day. And I didn't understand that, but I certainly wasn't expecting it. And I didn't know what he meant. And so I would come to find out eventually. But I kept using. I kept using, and my using story is not like super intense, like, you know, stereotypical addict living on the streets, like stuff, guys. It's just not, you know. I'm a fortunate person. I grew up, my life, for all accounts, is very normal. Except that, like was shared a lot last night, like my feelings tried to kill me. And I don't want to feel them, and I need to get rid of them, and I need to fix them, and I have to feel something else, and I think I should feel a certain way all the time. Whether that, and I found drugs, and they did that, and I was like, this is it, right? And I really, like, did you guys get to see Dan last night? Is Dan out here? God, that was awesome. That was awesome. It actually reminds me that I need to start a timer. Thanks, Dan. Oh, man. And, oh, there's my outline. Ready? I did it. See, that's what happens when you start timers and look at your watch. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the message. And then I got clean. Yeah. So my using is, see, I love this stretch. My using wasn't like, I don't have like these war stories that people were like, oh man, anybody can get clean because he got clean because he was the most intense addict. That just wasn't me. But my feelings were intense, and that's what I heard when I got here, right? I thought that I was alone. I thought that I was alone in my feelings about myself and that nobody could understand because my experience had been that nobody fucking understands. The people that loved me didn't understand why I wanted to kept destroying myself. And they go, why are you doing this? And I go, I don't know. I didn't know. And I thought that I was alone, and I thought that I was unique. And our literature addresses this very much. And the theme of Rana today is never alone, because I get to come in and turn Narcotics Anonymous and find out that I'm not alone. And I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous in a psych center meeting, No Shoelace Club, dragged downstairs in this meeting, and I saw all these people. It was a huge meeting. It would ultimately become my home group. But one of the things I really remember was that the people sharing, like, they were me, right? And I love when people share at that feelings level, because that's the level that I identified with. Was how people felt, and they had found like a way out, and that first spark of hope, like for that hour of maybe these people do know what it feels like to live this way. Maybe they do. And that gift of desperation really opened that door for me. I do want to share a little bit like about the end of my using, because that gift of desperation is super important. And there were some things that happened to me that later on, as my recovery progressed, I'd come to find out were my higher power in my life. And so I was kind of at the end of my using, people started like drifting away from me. I think I had that point in my using, right, where like You know, I was the person who stayed out late. I was the person partying, and people just didn't want to be around me anymore. They were like, "This is too much," and they started to float away from me, and then they started to like move up and on with their lives, and I was very like baffled and confused because I wanted those same things that they were doing, and I was essentially, you know, had the same surroundings and same like upbringing and the same, but they were doing shit and I could not figure it out, and I was baffled by it. I was like, "What is wrong with me?" And so they started to drifting away from me, and I became more isolated. And my apartment, and I had barely moved out of it. I still had boxes that were like unpacked. And I'd been there for a year, and I'd asked my roommate if they had wanted, you know, to like renew. They were like, "Oh no, just, you know," all these excuses. But really, they just didn't want to live with me anymore, because I was using it. I was terrible and unreliable, and I could not pay rent. And my dealer, my supplier, the guy I was getting all my drugs from, he calls me one day, right? He calls me and he says, "Hey man, I need a roommate." And I was like, "It's my lucky day." It's my lucky day. And so I was, and in that moment, on the phone, for the first time in my entire life, the tape played all the way through. I didn't know what was happening because I had not heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous, but like in that like flash of like 5 second pause for me to answer this guy, I took myself all the way to the end of what it was going to be like living with my hookup. And in that moment, I said no. I said sorry. I said I can't. And I don't know. I didn't say no, right? And that's how I know that I have a higher power, is because I said no. And so I moved back in with my parents, and that was like the beginning of the end, right? The rest is just the same old stuff. Like, I punched a hole in the wall and they got really mad at me and they're like, "Are you on drugs?" And I'm like, "Yes, please God help me." Right? It was the beginning of the end where I was like ready to fucking ask for help. You know, and saying no was like that first, like, you know, like opening the door for that for me, right? Being able to ask for help. My higher power is working in my life, doing for me already what I couldn't do for myself. And so it's funny because my parents always asked me before this if I was on drugs when I was like sober, like I was not on drugs, because like being on drugs was like a normal state for me. And so when I was like, you know, kicking, they would be like, "What the fucking wrong with you? Are you on drugs?" Nope, telling the truth. Test me. So I went to the psych center because I didn't know what to do, and I knew that they had like beds and that people went there, and it was like the second day there, and my insurance was like, "We're not going to pay for you." And I had been like to like two meetings, and I started to feel better, and they were like, "You got to go." And I started crying like in the psych center. I did not want to leave this facility. And so that's like the beginning of that change for me, right? Like that message started working on me. And so I heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous in these meetings. And the gift of desperation, right? I had nowhere. I tried all the things, right? I heard our literature. I am the literature. Psychiatry, religion, and medicine. And none of those things had ever fixed the way I feel inside. And the drugs stopped fixing the way I felt inside. And there was just no way to close this hole. And so, did you guys read the daily meditation this morning? Yeah, I did, because I was like, well, if you don't know what to talk about, you can always go to the daily meditation. It's the Brana theme. Did you guys do that on purpose? The Brana, it's never alone. It says just for today. I will start the day with an admission of my powerless over my addiction. I will remind myself that the first step starts with we, and know that I never have to be alone with my disease again. Right? That's cool. Right? And when I thought about the theme, I was like, I'm having a hard time with never alone because I like to be alone. But I learned in Narcotics Anonymous that being alone, like solitude is not isolation, right? My disease left me isolated, and I really love the way that Just for Today put it about being alone with my disease, right? Because that's the feeling. Right now when I'm alone, like I'm alone with me, with a me that I know and I've come to love through the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. But when I was using, I was alone, but I was alone with my disease. I was alone with the thing that talks to me in my own voice and tells me that I'm not worth it, that I'm a piece of shit, that I'll never amount to anything, that they know how to do it and you don't, and that your life isn't worth living. And so I no longer had to be alone with my disease, and I heard that message in Narcotics Anonymous. I was 23. I was 23 years old when I got clean, and I want to share that because, and Dan was 23. Dan, are you here, Dan? I don't know. It's awesome. I was 23 years old when I got clean. And so if you're here, if you heard the message of Narcotics Anonymous and you are young and you're like, it's not over. I still got plenty more life left to use. You don't have to use again. Like, we no longer have to live a life of addiction and go to the depths in despair because our predecessors have done that for us. And we can hear the message and we can stop using and we can learn a different way to live whenever we want. And I'm so lucky that I got to hear this message at that age because I got to have, like, a life thanks to Narcotics Anonymous. And that's one of the reasons that Narcotics Anonymous is so important to me, because it's what gave you the message and it's what allowed me to start, like, to have a life again. And so I did all the things, right? I was, like, such a good freaking newcomer. I'm sure I was really obnoxious. I guarantee it. I like look back on those first like 60, 90 days and just cringe at myself. I said things like, I'm a grumpy pants today. And like, just, I'm a huge dork. I don't know if you guys know this. Like, I'm just a huge, really big dweeb. And I was very excited. And I've seen the newcomer, the very excited newcomer, right? I was that one. I was like, they wanted to tell everybody that I figured out what the fuck was wrong with me, right? I'm an addict. Like, I wanted to tell everybody I figured it out. Thank God. I thought there was something wrong with me, right? But nope. I'm just an addict. I really related to Dan's like telling his like grocery store employees like, hey, I'm an addict. You shouldn't trust me. Working on it though. I'm really working on that. I was excited. I was excited, and so I did all the things, right? 90 meetings in 90 days. I tell all newcomers to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, and they go, ugh. It's really important to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Like, it's how we get plugged in. I told you guys at the beginning that, like, I go to meetings. I learned that going to meetings is where recovery happens. It's where we get our sponsors. It's how we help newcomers. It's how we learn to be of service. It's how we get in the middle of this thing. Okay, so I went to 90 meetings in 90 days, and I got a home group. I found a home group accidentally. I went to a meeting too early. Right, way too early. I didn't know what to do, though, after work. Like, I would just go sit in the parking lot in my car. Like, can't drive around anywhere, can't hang out with the same people. Like, 34 days clean, just don't want to use. So I'll go hang out in the parking lot of the psych center. Right, and I see these guys, and I thought it was like a 7:30 meeting, it's like an 8:30 meeting. I show up at 6:30, and these guys are just in there. It's like three guys are like, hey. Right, I'm like, oh, sorry, wrong place. And they're like, no, come help us set up. We're setting up chairs. And so I started hanging out with these like guys. And this is like also at the point where I was quite sure that I would never enjoy life and have fun ever again. Like, that was a certainty. Like, I was like with a bunch of squares. I was 23. I barely had like 2 years to drink. I drank for like eight, but legally. And I just knew I wasn't gonna ever have fun again. And so I went and I hung out with these guys, and they were a few years older than me, and they were just fucking off, right? And telling dirty jokes and being assholes to each other and just being crude and like setting up chairs and having like fun and like laughing. And those were like the first experiences I had in recovery being clean. Like, like finding a little bit of that spark again, right? Like laughing. And it was around these guys setting up this meeting. So I joined the home group because they had what I wanted, which was at that time was to just laugh, right? And feel good again. And they had it. They were clean. They were feeling good. So I joined the home group and I learned how to be of service. And it was a big home group. There was a lot of work to do, a lot of moving chairs, a lot of setting up coffee, a huge coffee pot to brew. We always had snacks. We got weird balloons for people in celebrations. It was so much fun. And the other thing that happened is that I went to the first home group meeting, and all the fun that was happening, the home group business meetings were very serious, like deadly serious. Like, we'll tell jokes and stuff, but this home group meeting is life and death. And so I learned about service through that home group business meeting. And they needed a GSR. And our home group was a part of this very large area at the time. And I just wanted to be a part of. And I was like, I'll do it. Right? And they were like, whew. I had like 60 days clean. They were like, ugh. And they at the home group business meeting, they would whisper to each other, well, do you think you can do it? I don't know. Do you think you can do it? But, and then like I saw like two of them like walk away and have like a private conversation. And I just knew, I was like, well, I guess that's not. And they let me be GSR. And one of the other guys was the literature chair. Yeah, I know. It's so exciting. What a terrible mistake I made. No, just kidding. Guys, you should absolutely be GSR at 60 days clean. And I'll tell you why. So I went to GSR. I went to area. It was this huge thing, and I didn't know what the crap was going on. But I like got into the middle of Narcotics Anonymous at 60 days clean in a way that I didn't even know existed. And the one guy was a literature chair, and he really helped me out. And the literature room was this huge thing with all this stuff, and it was like, whoa. And I learned about service, and then I got high. I used that like 60-something days clean, probably like 2 weeks. I probably went into area once or twice, and I was like, I got high, and I went to a couple meetings high. I do not recommend that at all. It's terrible. I went to a meeting called In Times of Illness. I was like, ugh, I'm very sick. it was perfect. And the thing that brought me back to Narcotics Anonymous after that, through the shame, was not letting those guys down. Right? They made me GSR, and I was like, fuck. I went back to the meeting, and I picked up a white key tag, and that was the last white key tag I had to pick up. That was in January 15th, 2009. I was 23. And so that service position kept me clean. And so I encourage people to be the coffee maker, to be the hugger. But go fuck it. Go be GSR. We'll teach you how to do it. Yeah. We'll like give you an elbow and tell you when to raise your hand. Yeah. Or not. We'll teach you that you better not fucking raise your hand unless you know what you're doing. Service is important, right? Things that stuff happens. Narcotics Anonymous, it works because we freely give away what has been given to us, which for me is my entire life. I don't know about you guys, but my life today was freely given to me. And so so I got clean, and I found a home group, and I was of service, and my life started. I started working steps with a sponsor, and my life started to change. I started to learn who I was, right? And I started to find the things that I liked, that I wanted to do, because my whole life had been making sure that you felt good and that you felt okay with me and that I was not like a bother to you. And this is a theme that pervades my entire life experience right now. It's like, don't upset anybody. Right, I'm a very agreeable person. I think my friends who know me will find that I'm very agreeable, and that the hardest thing for me is to be disagreeable, right? To tell people no, to say I'm not okay with that, to say I would like some time with me, you know, those sorts of things that I didn't understand how to do, and so solitude is not isolation, not for this addict. And so I started to find freedom, freedom from me, right? Because the drugs were like the symptom of my disease, like Dan talked about last night. Thank God for addiction, because I learned that it was me, right? It was an inside job. It was me that I had to understand and come to know and come to change. And through the step working process and through a higher power and through a sponsor, I found freedom from the part of me that says, you must do this, right? I had the first thought, wrong thing. It says, yep, do it. And I had to like stop that. I had to go, well, maybe that's not such a good idea. And I can do that by checking with people. But usually for me, it's the thing that I don't want to do that's like the right thing for this addict, right? There's always a thing that's like the hard stuff, the thing that's like really difficult, whether it's like apologizing or like taking responsibility for something that I've done, or like cleaning up after myself, or like like those things that my brain just goes, nope. Right, those are the things that I got to do. So I started developing, check this out. Did you guys know that discipline is a spiritual principle? It's one of the like lesser known ones, or maybe we just avoid it, right? But I started to develop discipline as a spiritual principle. I started to learn how to show up because of Narcotics Anonymous, because of being in service, because of going to meetings, right? I learned how to show up in my life. I show up for work. It's amazing. It's amazing what happens to us just when we walk through the door of anything. And through the third step, I learned that even though I knew that when I walked through the door that it was going to be awful, that my higher power was not going to let me like suffer, that I could do anything despite myself. And so I started to cultivate this spiritual principle of discipline, and it was very simple things at first, right? You know the whole making your bed thing? Like, a lot of people are like, ugh, right? And I was like, oh, God. But it's cultivating that. That's like the first thing that I learned how to do that I didn't want to do. And so I started developing and cultivating this spiritual principle of discipline that freed me from myself. I learned how to do the hard thing. And it's those habits. It is habit and it's discipline that when I'm backed into a corner, when shit hits the fan, when life goes awry, and I'm at a place where I don't know what to do, those habits and that discipline is going to save my life. Because I will pick up the phone and I will call an addict. I will go to a meeting. I will say out loud what's happening to me because I learned how to do those things despite myself. Because me, the real me, doesn't want to do that stuff at all. I want to run and hide. I don't want to tell you what I'm going through. So that discipline and those habits, they saved my life countless times. And so I found freedom for myself. And I do want to share real quick that I do not call my higher power God. Okay? And one of the things that I love about Narcotics Anonymous is that my higher power can be whatever I want it to be. And it was really helpful for me as a newcomer because God probably would have scared me away. It doesn't really scare me anymore. And I will say the word God nowadays for lack of a better term often, but in my spiritual practices, I don't call my higher power God. And if that's you, that's okay. And if you do call your higher power God, that's awesome. I love it too. I just want everyone here to know, especially if you're new, that you can have whatever higher power you want, because hearing that message saved it helped me find mine. It helped me find my higher power, which speaks to me through you guys, right? My higher power is in the message of Narcotics Anonymous. It's why I need to go to meetings. It's mostly how I interact with my higher power. You know, talking to the newcomer, hearing from the old timer, seeing the kid with his dad sitting in a meeting. It's where my higher power like resides. And so it's very important that I got that message. And so I continued the process of working steps, being a sponsor, and my life started to change. I started to learn who I was, and I started to have fun in Narcotics Anonymous, and I started to take that principle of doing the hard thing and like start to expand it out in my life. And it's amazing what happens when you walk through the door and you show up. So I kept showing up for myself, and I was driving down the highway one day, and I would always pass a billboard for this local school that we have called ECPI, and it was like a tech school, and I liked computers and stuff, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And all I needed was like, all you need is like 20 seconds of courage, right? I just need to like, just like pray and just do something like really quick before I talk myself out of it. And so like one day I saw the billboard and I was like, fuck it. And I turned off the highway and I drove over to the school and I went in. I was like, I want to go back to school. And they were like a for-profit school. So they're like, all right, cool, sign here. They're like, now you got to take out some loans, sucker. And I came home one day and my girlfriend, fiance, I don't know what stage in our relationship we were at this time, honey, I'm sorry. But I came home and I was like, I signed up for school. She was like, oh. I have impulse issues sometimes also. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. But today my impulse issues are like, they can be really healthy sometimes. Like, I'm going to impulsively do the right thing. It's awesome. Like, we change through this process. And so I did. I went to school, like, at night. Like, I worked all day and went to school at night for 2 years. And my girlfriend and then fiance and soon-to-be wife, like, now wife, like, suffered through all that. And it was all because that trust in my higher power that I had learned, right? That I'm going to be okay. That if I show up, I'm going to be okay. I never knew I was going to be okay out there, guys. I thought it was, like, I didn't know. If you're sitting here and you don't know that you're going to be okay, like I understand that. I keep coming. I learned eventually that no matter what I did, that I was going to be okay. And that's really all I ever was looking for, was just to be okay. And so I went to school. I did really well because I'm obsessive and compulsive. And I knew that I was going to be okay. And so I graduated like, I don't know. We do our thing. We were doing a thing, and they were like, one day at the school, they were like, hey, you know, you're like really great student. We want to use like, can we use some photos for like advertising and stuff? And it was like oh yeah, sure. There was like a bunch of students there, and we were dressed all fancy, and they took some pictures and whatnot. And one day, I started getting blasted with text messages from all my friends. They were like, hey. Did you know you're on a billboard? Say, excuse me. And then I started getting like photos. And I was driving to work one day. And the same billboard that had steered me off the highway had my 50-foot fucking face on it in my hometown. So my coworkers and my NA friends. And like I'd like become this fucking poster child for it affectionately became known as the Philboard, for those of you who remember. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't resist a good pun, guys. I'm so sorry. Yeah, so that's like what happens to us when we work a program in Narcotics Anonymous, right? We don't just do shit. We like yeah, we like I went way too far on that one. Like really turned it up, you know. But my life started to change, guys, and I started to like do stuff. You know, people started to like care about me and be in my life. One of the guys in my home group, who was the guy who was very like adamant about me not being GSR. He was like the really loud dissenting, like asshole voice. He was like, no. He's like, you guys are fucking crazy. This guy, he's gonna fit, you know. Like, you know, that guy was at my wedding, you know. He's like, what am I like? Good support group guys, so I can tell, like, whatever today. And my life started to change, and I got married to someone in Narcotics Anonymous, and like Dan said, like, well, for better for worse, right? And it was definitely for the better. And I don't talk about that stuff a little bit often, very often, because it's very important to me that my recovery is my recovery, and we don't intermix our recovery, like, at all. Like, the worst thing that I could ever possibly say is, like, call your sponsor. Like, that stuff doesn't happen in, like, our house. We don't go, like, well, you should go to a meeting. Like I said some terrible shit in anger, right, but never that. Yeah, so... And I love that because like her recovery, my recovery, but we both have a program and work a process, and it keeps our relationship, you know, always growing and changing as we change. And I do want to share that I'm like so grateful for the process that I can look at myself and I can look at my part and my behaviors because it affects the way I interact with the world. Right? When I was using, like, it was like the world interacted with me. And it was kind of like Dan shared that, like, you know, that, like, I'm the main character in my own story, and things just happen to me. And as I work steps and I learn who I actually am and how I affect the world around me, my perspective starts to shift. And start to learn, like, a new way to live. And I start to understand, you know, that amends are a change in behavior and not an apology. And I start to learn that meditation can happen however I want to, whenever I want to, in whatever way I want to. And I start to learn that prayer is not, you know, the prayer that I thought it was. That I can pray however I want to, whenever I want to. And sometimes that, for me, that just looks like, you know, like talking to people after meetings and sitting quietly by myself. And I just think it's really important that that the newcomer knows that the ideas that I came into Narcotics Anonymous with were not correct. You know, that I had to, you know, open-mindedness is one of those kind of obscure spiritual principles for me that I don't really know what it looks like. You know, and I can say, oh, yeah, I'll be open-minded, but, like, it takes a lot of, like, emotional strife for me to really become open-minded. And that is something that I have to practice at and listen to and, like, ignore the butt hurt when someone tells me about myself, you know, and step back and say, like, maybe that is true. Working a six step is really good for that. With a sponsor, by the way. being a little butt hurt. I did. I found relief. I found relief from those things through the step working process. I learned that that I get a daily reprieve from myself. Right? That I get opportunities to be relieved of my character defects, and it doesn't always happen. Right? I act out. I could be a real asshole. You know, I'm just a human being, like everybody else, and it's like such a relief, like such a relief, and that's another reason my higher power exists in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, because it's such a relief to be with, like, imperfect human beings who are, like, willing to share that imperfection, right? Because it seems like the rest of the world, the normal world I interact with, very rare is it where someone is so willing to share their flaws with you and let you know that they're human beings. And I love Narcotics Anonymous because I get to just be a human being with other human beings. And I learn so much from when people share where they struggle and then how they overcome it. And so my life started to change, and I went to school and I have a career that I went to school for, and it's very exciting, and I started to become a productive member of society outside of Narcotics Anonymous, like, for once in my life, and really just all through just showing up, right? And those things started to happen where, like, I just kind of started, like, knowing what to do through practice and through discipline, and my life started to change. And I'm going to read my outline here real quick. Yes. Okay. That's just why I got it. It's so great. I'm so proud of myself for having this. And it's really, you know, through that message. And so the message of Narcotics Anonymous is super important for me. So I go to meetings. The atmosphere of recovery is very important for me. When we're in Narcotics Anonymous meetings, the message needs to be carried to the newcomer, and the atmosphere of recovery is super important to me. And so one of the things I love about my home group, it's a smaller home group, but, like, you know, people goof off and cut up, but when the meeting starts, Like, it is like a very like disciplined atmosphere of recovery, and I just adore it. And I also, as I've grown and changed and learned who I am, I've become a little bit of a control freak. You know, that's okay. And I understand that there's a place for meetings where like things are kind of wild, right? I kind of split my meetings between like the really structured meetings where like people share like a clear disciplined message. And then like, you know, I like to go to the really big meetings with all like the, you know, the Oxford crew and all those that are just wild, right? Because like, I loved those meetings when I first came around. I absolutely like understand them, you know, but it's not always my cup of tea. But the message of recovery is still there. Like it happens at the home group level, guys, when we make a format and we decide how we're going to carry the message and that we follow that format and that that the message is the most important thing about a Narcotics Anonymous meeting because it's what saves lives. And so I really like treasure the NA atmosphere of recovery. And I had to learn that, I learned kind of the hard way in Narcotics Anonymous that it's not always my responsibility to help everybody, even if I want to. That we all have like our niche and our place and our roles and the way that we carry the message in our own unique way, whether it's, you know, the person who like sponsors all the newcomers, like that's not me, right? Like I just like, but that is some of you, right? And that's awesome, and I admire it, and I love it, and my message may not always be to be the person that shares in the meeting, right? There's more ways to carry the message and to share. If you're, you know, I don't believe that, you know, that you have to share in every meeting you go to. Something I have to remind myself that I don't have to share at every meeting that I go to, and that I believe that. That we all have our ways of contributing the message, and that we need to be cautious about keeping true to ourselves while we help the newcomer. So we all have our ways to do that, and we have a saying that we'll love you until we learn to love ourselves. And I really love that, but I also have to remember that oftentimes love comes in the form of structure and discipline and boundaries and rules, and that those things are in place so that the message of Narcotics Anonymous can be clear. And so this is my little part of the where I share, where I get on my soapbox, right? But it's very important to me. Like, I love the message of Narcotics Anonymous, and it's through group conscience and love and discipline and service that message gets carried, and it gets carried in the meetings of Narcotics Anonymous. Okay, here we go. Oh, that's the end of my outline. Oh, no, what do I do at this part? I go back to the beginning. I was born in it. Thank you, Shane. No, here we go. I love Narcotics Anonymous, guys. You guys saved my life. The Brandon Campout saved my life. The meetings of Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. Being of service saved my life. You never have to use again. No matter what happens to me in my life, I never have to use again. I'm so full of hope still to this day, 15 years later, because of Narcotics Anonymous. I've been so fortunate to not reach the point in recovery in clean where I've lost hope. It's because I go to meetings. It's because I have a support group. It's because I'm part of the, not this year, step working process. It's because I'm in the middle of this thing. That message of hope is always there. And the theme of Brana is never alone. And I never have to be alone with my disease again. I got to put down the drugs. I got to have choice. And I got to find a new way to live. I'm so excited to be. I'm a speaker at Brana. I love Brana. This is awesome. I love you guys. It's Saturday morning. Please go have fun. Please give your fellow addict a hug. Talk to a newcomer. Like commune with my higher power by fellowshipping with one another. And thank you for listening to me today. I love you guys. Carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Thanks for letting me share.